All right. Well, welcome back to another episode of the Edible Valley podcast. I'm Chef Jonathan Fraser. And once again, I'm here with
Darren Howlett, as always. John, how have you been? Let's just get right into it.
You know what? I have not seen you for the longest time. So you've just got back to town.
Actually, I know. So. Yeah. I was gone for 3.5 weeks and just returned. I was in complete isolation. So I'm somewhat out of the loop. I haven't talked to anybody or heard anything for ages. So I feel like I'm coming into the show a little unprepared. But maybe you can fill me in, bring me up to speed. What's going to be happening over the next little while?
There seems to be a lot of stuff happening because we're here. It's May Day. It's May long weekend.
Right.
So we got the nice relaxing holiday coming up, three days here.
Yeah, we have amazing weather.
Amazing weather. Empire Days are happening here in Cumberland. Yeah. So Fantastic. It's nice to actually be up here, and there's tons of people down in the park today. I did a little walk around Cumberland myself today and was enjoying things and grabbed a little pizza there from Ryder's Pizza and looked at the beautiful little patio set that they have at the brewery now, the Cumberland Brewery.
So, right.
And it was quite astonishing because they have a beer tent set up down at the park and they have the patio set up there. And I think there's about the same volume of people at both places. So.
Well, you know, what are you going to do? I mean,
could get interesting later on.
It's a long weekend. There's beer. Yeah.
But no, it looks like a good time, and there's the parade coming up tomorrow.
So. Yeah, I'm going to be taking the kids to that tomorrow for sure.
Yes, I've got my daughter, and we're getting prepped, and I know there's lots of crazy events happening here. So, but not as much so much with food, other than I know there'll be some great little some of the vendors down there, which are always some food trucks and stuff like that. So there's always interesting to see who's down there and what kind of food's going to come out of there. So.
Right? Yeah, actually, friends of ours. That's where they got their start. I think that was their first event ever. With Paul and Lena. Not last year, but the year before, that was their first event.
Bee's Knees Catering. So
yeah.
I know they've shied away from some of those events and are getting more into catering now. But,
right. We had them on the show a few months back.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I haven't actually checked out the food aspect. I know that I was invited to come down once. Actually, I think it's been 2 years now that I've been invited to go down with my food truck, but I've just never able to come down on the long weekend. I've always got too much going on.
Right.
It's just, too much. Well. So what else is going on? I mean, we're talking now, maybe we can touch on what's happened. What's happened in the last few weeks? Has there been any significant food events?
Nothing that really jumps off that I remember so much. There's been a few little, I've been doing these weird things all over the place.
Yeah.
Definitely just, I've been doing a lot of stuff with the Chefs Association lately.
Right.
It's bursary time. So this is a big one for junior chefs, actually all chefs, anyone who's involved with the Chefs Association, to get out there and get some money.
Right.
To help further your education. So it was neat. We kind of sat down and just reorganized the whole steps of it and sort of changed the amounts and who is eligible for them or the criteria that's required to get those.
Because you do a bursary, don't you? You the Chefs Association?
Yeah, we basically worked out to about $4,000.
Wow.
That we want to give out this year for bursaries. Now we need the right people to apply that qualify for it. You know, the people that are actually in the industry that are working and are active. We do two big ones for School District 71 and School District 72.
Oh yeah.
So Comox Valley, and then one for Campbell River. So that's I want to say 250.
Right.
Or I think that's what that one is. As well as we do, I think we have 4 available for junior chefs.
Wow.
So, so anyone who's a junior chef within the Chefs Association, there's an eligibility for $250 for someone who's actively in the trade.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. I mean, and I know another reason too, that, things have felt a little quiet. I know we were talking about it just before I left, is we hit that sort of that key gardening season.
That's right.
A lot of the people that we would normally talk to weren't able to come out because they're stuck in their gardens, farms, what have you, getting everything prepped.
This is the weekend to start gardening.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, this is the one. So I'm assuming too, we did put out quite a few calls to see, to line up some shows as soon as I got back into town. And it's an incredible amount of people are unavailable at this time.
Yes.
So yeah, I know that we do have quite a few people coming up in future shows, but this weekend, yeah, it's the one where everybody's preoccupied getting everything ready for the summer.
Yeah, no, exactly. So yeah, it's gardening time. I know, actually I have a new tenant at my house, so.
Right.
And she has so graciously gone above and beyond and started weeding all my beds of garden.
Oh, really?
Yeah, started planting. And so I'm actually looking really excited to have some vegetables at my house.
Right.
I'm really good at throwing seeds in the ground. Yeah. I'll make that initial effort. Like I brought in some extra soil and started topping stuff up, but I didn't really get that far. Yeah. And it all sprouts up and then...
I know. It's incredible. I haven't actually seen my brother since I got back, but as I've told you before, he's... he's just an incredible gardener. Mm-hmm. And so I stopped by the house. I actually had some things of his that I didn't realize didn't get back to him before I'd left. So feeling extremely guilty knowing that he wasn't there. I wanted to drop them off even though he's away for this weekend. So I went to drop them off. And of course his garden is already fully there's already ready things ready to pick.
Really?
Yeah. It was, overwhelming. I'm looking at all these gardens where people are getting sprouts and whatever, and he's got growth that's already 2 feet high in some spots.
It's an early year this year, I think.
Yeah, so. Exactly. I think he took full advantage of it. So, but that's somebody that I would like to actually eventually get on the show. I don't know how much he would want to come in, but we've talked about doing a gardening aspect to the show, maybe introducing, people that have that green thumb, not necessarily farmers, which we do talk to quite often, but just some local green thumb enthusiasts that might have some tips for the small time gardener
to
get up and going.
Those foodies out there that just can't get enough from their grocery store. They need to have
exactly
their own
and
stuff.
That, and you know, that's my brother to a T too, is he's a foodie through and through. And but yeah, he prefers to grow as much as possible, of course, because there he can control the flavor.
Oh, exactly.
Can control the abundance, control everything. So yeah.
It adds that challenge too, because you got to cook what's there, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, for sure.
What's popping out of the ground today? Okay, that's what I got to make. So.
Yeah, and we've never really talked about things, but I'm gonna take this opportunity to talk about food goals, I guess, for a bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, every year I try to take on some new things, some new aspects for knowledge, and. I want to, delve into one sort of specific topic a little bit further than I would on others. And I used to putting a challenge before myself of learning something new, and I don't mean learning how to saute or learning how to whatever. I'm talking a little more, a little more in depth, something that doesn't really get touched on mostly. So this year, the big things for me is foraging. I really want to learn more about foraging. That's like the forefront of my mind right now. Mostly mushrooms too. They go hand in hand. Somebody, it may have even been you, pointed out that I being that mushrooms are such a staple in my diet, mm-hmm. I eat mushrooms daily. Like to me, they're one of my biggest sources of protein. I'm not a big meat eater. And it occurred to me that we live in a place that has an abundance of mushrooms, and yet I don't go out and pick them because I don't know which ones are safe. I know which I think might be safe, but I want to be clear.
Not always the best way to go about
it. Exactly. Exactly. So that's my goal this year is, and I realize that right now is not the greatest time. I think that we were going to have a mushroom harvester come in, and he actually had to jet out to do it's morel season up north. And so that's where he is right now. But he'll be on a future episode. But I do know that as we get closer into the fall and the winter months, that's when it becomes, mushroom central around here. So I hope to have that body of knowledge down pat before I go into that season.
Well, I always use Blaine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blaine was always my, he always took me out. We always get lost in the woods. So, So when that emergency thing goes out and you disappear for a couple of days, we know you're out in the woods finding mushrooms.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, that's the thing too. I mean, I know being that we're in the restaurant industry, we get a lot of people will approach us and say, oh, we've got mushrooms, you know, just wild mushrooms that they've harvested. And of course, there's a full process that we have to go through. We can't just buy them straight off the street. But, you know, I've had a couple of them offer to take me up too. Because I always just chat them up about mushrooms and how I'd like to know. So we'll see. I'm excited to learn about it this year. Yeah. But my other food goal is sausage making. I don't know if you remember around Christmas, I was talking about how that's what I wanted to do, how whatever. So I finally assembled all the equipment I need. And now it's a matter of finding the time. Because I want to get not just into the sausage making with fresh sausages, but I also want to get into some of the curing aspects of them. I want to just start sort of fooling around with the full spectrum and see where I land with it, you know?
Yeah, well, that's something I've been getting into too. So
yeah,
okay. Yeah, I've been actually playing again.
Right.
We've been having, I guess it's a sausage party at his house. So
You actually had a sausage fest.
I was at a sausage fest. But it was great because we went up there and he had all this ground meat. And so it was different. Like he had some venison and some pork and all this. And so we mixed a bunch of them just to create different flavors.
Nice.
And then we did, you know, a cranberry pear.
Right.
I think we did a fig and pear. With brie cheese in it.
Oh, wow.
And stuff that it was incredible. And then we did some spicy chorizo.
Nice.
So we just started mixing with some flavors and stuff like that. So it was great, you know,
actually, now that I think about it, now that we're talking about it, I would think on my birthday when we did that multi-course dinner, you brought some homemade sausage from then.
That's right. I did bring that in. So I've gone back a couple times
and
got more sausages, but that's leading on to my new food thing that I'm really getting excited about.
I totally want to hear what gets a chef interested.
Well, I'm getting into barbecuing and smoking. It's more of the smoking end of it.
Right.
So, I'm starting to do first of all, we've brought a smoker at the Atlas Cafe.
Right.
So, and it's an indoor smoker.
I know,
and
it is a thing of beauty.
Vented and it's computerized and it's a little crazy. And it's neat to learn how to cook with those meats and how to slowly do it. And it's amazing. Just the churning or the timing and how much it changes the texture and the flavor of the meat and what you're really getting out of it.
So, right. Yeah.
Yes.
No, it's been amazing. I mean, I've noticed quite a few. There's a lot of experimentation going on there right now, and I've noticed that you've been experimenting with brisket.
Briskets. I've found 10 different brisket recipes and everyone has a different little twist off.
Yeah.
I've got some pickled ones in. I've got some ones that I've just done nice rubs. I've brined them and I'm just trying to find that one that is perfect for me. So, actually that's one thing I can say that you missed out of when you were away. BC Avatoirs had their AGM here in the Comox Valley.
Right.
And so it was a big 2-day event here. And so we did a dinner for them at Locals.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So Ronald let us take over his patio.
Nice.
And, unfortunately I wasn't there. I just got to cook the meat.
Right.
So Ronald supplied me, actually he got some from Gunther Brothers.
Right. Nice.
They did this beautiful brined, brisket.
Yeah.
So I got a couple of those. So I threw them in the smoker and I smoked them and then I rolled them.
Yeah.
Put them in butcher's paper.
Yeah.
Just to cook them to keep that juice inside there.
Nice.
Let them go for a few more hours and then slice it all paper thin.
Wow.
And then we did little sliders with, I did sort of a party slaw, I like to call it.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it was Tiki, my sous chef, who came up with that. But it's got carrots, ikama, and cabbage with like a little wasabi aioli.
Oh, nice.
To just give it that flavor.
Yeah,
so that was our slider.
That little
and it
bite.
Was
nice.
It was
oh my God.
Fabulous.
It sounds great.
Yeah. But there was a lot of other places there too. I know Aaron from the White Whale.
Nice.
Came in there and I think he was doing a flank steak. And there was just like a whole selection of other chefs that were all there, all doing different stuff. I'm trying to remember everyone.
Yeah.
So it was just a really cool event. And apparently the food was amazing.
Oh, wow.
From what I heard. I had Andrew Stigant, who's been on the show a long, long time ago. He used to be the chef. Where was he the chef at that moment? He's kind of bounced around, but he was at Anderton Bistro for a while, and then Crown Isle. I think it was at Crown Isle when we talked to him.
Right.
But he's now works for Russell Foods, so he sells food equipment. So,
oh, wow.
Yes. He's my guy I go to when I need a new frying pan. So, but yeah, he actually went there and served the sliders for me. So
nice.
It was perfect.
Nice. And so, you know, with not that everybody's interested necessarily in what's going on behind the scenes, maybe they are, but So what now that you're starting to experiment, what's the end result like? And not only that, the sheer investment, that was an expensive smoker. So obviously there's some plans to put it to use.
Well, I mean, a lot of it is just to bring down the labor.
Right.
Right. Like, cause it, yes, it was a bit of an investment, but now I'm saving time being able to prepare and cook foods for the restaurant. So, the one thing we're looking at is, doing pulled pork.
Nice.
So a smoked pulled pork. So we're bringing in pork butts or pork shoulders, doing a nice rub on them, smoking them for three hours in the smoker, and then covering up and baking them. And because it's kind of a neat, the smoker that's actually a holding oven as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. So you can hold up to, I think 325 is as hot as it gets.
Wow.
So usually I'll
put it in. So you actually don't even have to transfer them?
No.
Wow.
So basically I put them in pan, put some foil over them, throw them back in there, and then they just sweat in their own juices.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So for me, this is kind of a neat,
neat
experiment just to see how this works. I mean, a lot of times I was just rubbing them, wrapping them, baking them in the oven, you know, trying to find the best way. Ribs is the other one, trying to find a rub that works for me. Yeah. I'm finding it interesting because a lot of places out there are putting sugars and seasoning salt, and it's really fine salts. Whereas I'm more of a larger, coarser ground pepper, kosher salt, sea salt, you know, those
are things. It's true. It's true. Rubs generally are a really fine ground.
Yeah. So I'm sort of experimenting and sort of trying to figure out which actually gives you a better product.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I was never a big barbecue fan growing up. I mean, I was the, you know, standard with, every kid, you know, you'd have hot dogs or hamburgers all throughout the summer that dad would make, or the occasional steak or chicken or something, whatever. But never really explored it until probably about 10 years ago, I got into barbecuing myself. And, you know, again, of bringing up my brother, I was actually given, a roasting barbecue a little while ago, but the person couldn't convert it from natural gas. It was a natural gas. It was a $1,500 barbecue.
Oh, right.
It was natural gas, but it was this special, I can't remember who makes it, but I know that as soon as he got it, we went and we looked for conversion parts, and it took a couple months to track them down, but he converted it. And, it's a rotisserie barbecue smoker. It's like, it's everything, and it's produced some of the most amazing food I've ever had. Far superior to anything that, you know, I could ever make. But I didn't actually get turned on to barbecue until I was down south. One of the first times I think I was down south was in, it would have been about 2006. I went to New Orleans. It was just a few months after Hurricane Katrina. That's all I recall. So I think that was about it. Anyways, we went down there and I had my first experience with barbecue and started to understand Southern barbecue. And, you know, everybody put it up on this pedestal and I'd heard that it's just so different. And I get it. It's incredible. And so I've since been down south, four times since then, and cannot get enough barbecue. Like I said, I know that I'm not a big meat eater, but when it comes to barbecue,
Well, and that's it. I've gone to the library. Like, I've got this. I got this book. Actually, I bought it. It was a gift, actually.
Yeah.
For my birthday, but it was Franklin's.
Oh yeah,
which is a barbecue joint in Austin, Texas, and I think it was just voted one of the best in the world.
Wow.
And anyways, I love the philosophy of this. He was a musician.
Yeah.
Who later on in life just got this urge to smoke.
Wow.
And just started going on that way and sort of, he's inventive. So he sort of came up with his own way and,
oh wow.
And sort of he's monopolized on it. And apparently there's a lineup from, he goes through his day and it starts at 2 a.m. with getting the smoker going, throwing the briskets on to you know, 11 o'clock at night and closing down the restaurant and all that. But I thought it was funny that, you know, they open for lunch and there's a lineup at, you know, 6 in the morning for people getting ready, lining up to get in there.
That's crazy.
And when they're out, they're out. And then they start over again the next day. So
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, so maybe you can bring a little bit of that to Atlas.
add a little spin to it. I don't know. We'll see. So
that's fantastic. So what, let's switch gears here. What do we, is there anything on the horizon? Anything coming up that we should be talking about?
Well, I think, just getting some more guests in here is our big thing. I know you've been talking with a lot of people. I love the fact that you're now the contact guy to get these things lined up, because I'm notoriously horrible for it.
Yeah.
I know I run into the people, I meet them and I mention it, and then now I get their information and I give it to you, and then you chase after them. And
So I mean, upcoming shows, we can touch on those really quickly. I don't know. Generally there's about, I would say 4 out of 5 of these are going to materialize. At least one person will drop out for some reason, whether it's just that we have to put it on longer, put it off, like off to a later date or whatever. But yeah, over the next few shows, we have Dark Side Chocolates coming in.
Yes.
We have Tria.
Hope they bring us some treats there.
Yeah, hopefully. We have Tria Fine Foods. Kathy Jarrett, one of the, the Comox Valley's premier caterers. She'll be coming in.
She does some, I've got to work with her a couple times.
She does some amazing stuff.
Yeah.
And then we have, who do we have? We have Innisfree Farms coming.
Yes, great.
Roto's Coffee. We have
with Kelly.
Kelly.
So that's interesting, because she's the one who had the coffee shop, and then she realized she needs to know how the kitchen works.
Yeah.
Because they switched over from just a coffee shop to a a breakfast lunch place.
Right.
And now she's enrolled at North Island College. So she's taking the cooking course there.
Yeah. When I spoke to her, that's what we talked about. She said, I'd love to come in and talk about the coffee shop. And I said, we'd actually like to talk to you a bit about, everything that you're doing up at NIC too. And she's like, she got even more excited. She's like, I'd love to be there. But unfortunately, she couldn't make it to today's show, so she'll be in the upcoming one. And then who else have we spoken to? Arzina.
Yes, it would be nice to have her back in here.
Yeah.
She is into everything organic, good homegrown foods. And she's definitely everywhere.
Right.
And I just want to catch up with her and know what she's doing.
Good, so. Yeah. And then we also have confirmation from Abuelo. Their Abuelo Tortillas, they'll be coming in sometime in the near future as
well. Excellent. I know. He's going to put more pressure on me.
Yeah. And like I said, too, the Wildwood, the Mushroom Foragers.
Yes.
They're going to be coming in. So yeah, there's quite a few just in the next few weeks.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting excited. So.
So am I. So am I. We were a little alcohol centric there for a little while. It seemed like everybody that we had was either a beer maker or spirits or wine. I'm happy to get back into the food aspect.
Well, I think it's nice time to start talking about the farms and stuff
and
how important they are for our community.
For sure. Absolutely. So, being that there's not much more else to talk about today, let's cap this off now and, look forward to the upcoming episodes.
Excellent. Let's do that. And, till the next chance we get a chat. So hopefully next month we'll have a bunch of exciting things to chat on of what's happened and what we plan to see happening. So
absolutely. All right.
Well, thanks for listening. All right. Thanks for listening. If you have any questions or would like to pass on any information to us, please email us at the edible valley@gmail.com. And don't forget to like our Facebook page at the Edible Valley Podcast. Thanks again for listening.